Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast. I'm Kaizad Adajania. Debt mutual funds have gained a lot of notoriety thanks to the credit risk blow-ups that we've seen in the past year and a half. Can debt funds really assess credit risk when so many banks have faltered and NPA levels in some of them have been quite high? We spoke to Sujay Das, head of fixed income at Invesco India Mutual Fund, who cleared some misconceptions about debt funds, took us through how many fund houses usually assess credit, and explained to us how to set our expectations right and keep our risk levels in check. To begin with, I wanted to ask you is that, you know, in the past 2 years, you know, debt funds have got a little bit of a bad name because of all the credit crisis, several debt funds. And, you know, this year also, just as we thought that, you know, all the credit risks and all the defaults that we've done are behind us, came COVID-19 and then a large foreign fund house had to wind up with a few debt funds. And on the other hand, rating agencies after COVID-19 have warned that, you know, there could be more than usual number of defaults in the next 1 year. So how grim is the situation?
The economic conditions are pretty grim, Kaizad. And this decision of this lockdown has actually affected almost 80% of the economy, which is impacting the income and earnings of the corporates and households across both the organized and unorganized sector. So it's like imagining like you have your repayments, but you don't have your earnings. And the only way companies will be able to survive in this situation. So companies, big or small or medium, everybody will be impacted since you're part of the economy. It's not that any large company will be, you know, insulated from this impact. But your ability to survive will depend on your ability to raise new money on a weaker balance sheet. So it's not that the risk matrix of a AAA entity will remain as strong as it was. So risk matrix will keep deteriorating even while you are a AAA. But you might still retain your AAA status because you have an ability to raise money. But the situation at the ground level is pretty weak. The real picture will come out once the moratorium is lifted.
So you said the challenge is to find good credits at weaker balance sheets. Okay,
Money will decide whether they survive or not.
Yeah. So, you know, if, you know, banks are finding it so difficult to sort of keep their NPAs in check, and we've seen how NPAs have ballooned, do you think mutual funds are in a position to do credit evaluation, honestly?
Yes, I think credit evaluation is not the tough part of the assessment of the entire investment process. So, you know, credit evaluation generally is looking at financial numbers and trying to figure out your ability of a company to repay the debt. So that is one part. But if we look at it from the practical standpoint, a company also, while it utilizes internal cash accruals, it also depends on external fresh borrowings to repay an existing debt. So it's like if a company is in existence for 100 years, he will not have a debt which is of length of 100 years. He will have it like a length of 3 years or 5 years. So at the end of 3 years and 5 years, they have to keep coming to the market to raise new money to repay the earlier debt. So I think if the credit assessment is slightly more, you know, forward-looking about an ability of a company to raise money, rather than to figure out if the company has been able to repay the money in the past, and looking at it should be less of backward looking and more of forward looking, I think it's then your task is pretty clear.
Okay. So you're saying that mutual funds can do credit appraisals on their own as well, because right now there is a lot of dependence on credit rating agencies. Okay. Do mutual funds have specific teams within their infrastructure to sort of specialize people to just look at credit? And how is your team placed?
So this is absolutely a skilled job. So we have a 3-member credit research team, and their only job is to figure out the ability of a company to repay their debts.
That's it. There's no other function than these guys.
So there's no other. They are specialized.
And they are not equity fund research team.
They are hardcore debt. Yes.
Okay. How many companies do each of them take a look at?
They look at approximately 30 odd companies each.
Okay. 30 companies each. Okay.
30 companies each.
Okay.
So around 90, 95 companies we look at total.
Okay. And so when did you build this team? How long has this team been there with Invesco? Did it come about after all this credit crisis started to unfold, or did you have it beforehand?
So the internal credit assessment model was developed in 2010. So the team was formed at the same time, but the composition of the team has changed over the last 10 years. But pretty much we always had at least two or three members, at most points of the time in the last 10 years.
And what's the scene with other fund houses? Like generally, what's the industry practice?
I think credit assessment regulatory has to be an independent, function. Within the investment space. And you just can't depend on an external rating and decide on your investment. So you need to have your independent internal function. So I think that should be pretty much set in other fund houses as well.
Investors have been very upset with debt funds in the last 1.5 years, 2 years, with whatever experiences that they've had. They're a little bit scared also of investing fresh incremental money in debt funds. But tell me honestly, I mean, not as a debt fund manager, who has a vested interest in managing debt funds and getting investors. But can you still make money from debt funds? Can you still have a meaningful exposure to debt funds and still not, still have a holistic asset allocation in place?
Absolutely. I think the debt fund, by painting it in the same brush, is actually incorrect. So if we look at, so what are these debt funds and where do they invest? So there are debt funds of various qualities, right? So there are three things which are monitored when you invest in a debt fund. One is your interest rate risk, second is your credit risk, and third is your liquidity risk. And these debt funds invest into all kinds of debt papers which are available in the market. Now, if we have to look at the size of the market and how this market is built up, 60% of the market is sovereign bonds. So if you have invested into a debt fund and do not have exposure to sovereign bonds, it is like investing into your equity markets and not having exposure to large caps. So that anomaly has to be corrected. So, and the other 20-25% of the market is actually AAA bonds. So that make up to like 85% of the market. If I would strongly urge investors to build their fixed income portfolios with equivalent exposures to each of these categories, and not just look at the last 15%, which is your double A's and single A's. If you create 100% of your fixed income portfolio from the 15% of the debt market, because that 15% performance of that 15% moves up and down, depends upon the performance of the economy. And there can be down cycles in the economy. But there is a larger part of the fixed income market, where 85% of the market, which has made loads of return much higher than the risk. And another thing that I wanted to, speak on the same, question is that the ways people look at, debt funds, there is an alternate view. Like, I keep asking this question, like, when you look at two portfolios, one portfolio with a yield of 9% and the other one at a yield of 7%, many a times we would actually grab the 9% yielding portfolio thinking that it is superior. Now, you have to turn this question on its head and ask you, like, there are two companies, one borrowing at 9 and the other borrowing at 7. Like, my question is, why is this company borrowing at 9 and not at 7? The answer would be that he's unable to borrow money at 7. So there is risk attached to that company. Yeah. That's why he's unable to borrow. So in fixed income, the yield is a reflection of risk. We should not be, excited looking at a higher yielding portfolio thinking that, oh, wow, I have landed something great for myself. It's not that.
Which is what I wanted to ask you. My next question is that, realistically speaking, how much returns can you expect from a debt fund, or should you expect from a debt fund?
You should expect what is the interest rate structure. So if you're investing into sovereign bond yields are in the range of 6% plus minus 25 basis points. That is what you should expect. Okay. And what is the role of fixed income? The role of fixed income is to get stability in your overall portfolio, because the volatility of returns of the fixed income market is is much lower than the volatility of returns from the other asset classes. Absolutely. So if you are investing into sovereign kind of bonds, that is 6%. Now, whether it becomes slightly more than 6 depends whether you have played the interest rate cycle well. Okay. And if you're looking at AAA bonds, they're in the range of 6.5 to 7. And then whether it's slightly more than 6.5 to 7 depends upon whether you have played the interest rate cycle well. But if you're moving in the 10 to 11% band, which is the double A's or the single A's or whatever, then that has got commensurate risk, which is attached with the functioning of the economy.
So better not to take risk when you're looking at debt funds. and you know, just
because the Hindi word for fixed income is actually Sunischit Aay. So if you want Sunischit in your life, then you can't be venturing on that adventure part. Yeah. So absolutely, that is not the job of fixed income. The job of fixed income is to reduce the volatility of your overall portfolio.
Okay. Some people say that, you know, don't put too many, don't expect more than 1% point than inflation from your debt fund, or not more than 2% point than the inflation rate at any given point in time. And that should be your overarching expectation from a debt fund as far as returns are concerned.
The expectations you can have whatever that you feel comfortable with. But if you look at the performance of the sovereign funds over the last 5 years or 10 years,
gilt funds,
they're in the range of gilt funds. Yes. They're in the range of 9 to 11%.
Okay.
Is it 1% above inflation for the last 10 years of inflation? No. So interest rates is your lever of performance from fixed income.
Okay.
You know, and if you have played interest rates well, then it can really get you some really healthy returns over and above inflation. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I don't know how many of us know, we are in a negative real rate territory, correct? Okay. We don't have the April inflation data.
Yeah.
But we have the March inflation data, which is at 5.7 odd.
Yeah.
And the repo rate is already at 4, and most of the bank FD rates are below 5.7, right? Nobody is at even 5 possibly.
Yeah.
So we are in a negative real rate. So, we may think about inflation being an indicator of how much return to expect from fixed income, but depends what is a priority for the RBI governor. Right now, the priority is to revive growth, and that's why they are using a different matrix to push growth.
Okay.
And they're ignoring inflation.
Okay. Thanks, Sujay, for talking to us. And we'll take your advice, and we'll continue to invest in debt funds. But the expectations, as you said, should be reasonable. The risk level also should be well in check, and you can't afford to take too much of risk with your debt funds, obviously.
Thanks for reaching out, Kaisar.